It is the account from Matthew of the birth of Jesus Christ. This text picks up the story after the wise men, the Magi, have arrived in Jerusalem and inquired about the place where the King of Israel is to be born. They receive instructions from the scholars in Herod's court, and they go and visit the family in Bethlehem, present their gifts, and then they're warned to leave. And we pick up the story there.
Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 18, and can be found on page 956 of your Pew Bible. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." This is the word of the Lord.
I'd like to begin by giving you some information about this account in Matthew. First of all, just to remind you, the Magi have come, they've presented their gifts, they have been warned to leave, to not go back to Herod, and to leave by a different way. Herod understands what has happened, and he is angry, paranoid. So he has all the children in the town of Bethlehem, all the male children in the town of Bethlehem, under the age of 2, to be killed. Let me say something a little bit about that, about what is called the massacre or the slaughter of the innocents. In some traditions, it is said that as many as 14,000 infants were killed. Well, that's unlikely, since Bethlehem, at the most, probably had 1,000 people in it, and possibly as few as 400. More modern scholarship in better examination of the historical record think that perhaps 20 were killed, 20 boys, infant children, or it could be as few as 6. That's only important historically because there's no record of Herod doing this outside of Matthew. And it is usually argued there's no record of this because it was no big deal to King Herod or to his military advisors. They did much worse. This was hardly worth recording. And it might be that it was hardly worth recording. It was worth a lot to the mothers and fathers, I think. That massacre of the innocents reminds us, as I think I've said before, of the serious nature of the nativity story. The story of the birth of Jesus Christ. That Herod, for other reasons, understands the pivotal importance of what is happening. He thinks it's a threat to his reign, but actually, it is a threat to a much larger reign, the reign of Satan. Jesus Christ, this baby born in Bethlehem, has come to change the world. Joseph and Mary are warned that they are in danger and the baby's in danger, and they flee. They flee to Egypt. Why Egypt? Well, first of all, it's nearby. It's about 70 miles from Bethlehem. They have traveled from Nazareth already, and that's at least 70 miles, maybe 80 miles. So it's relatively speaking close by. It has a large Jewish population in it, Egypt does. So it might be that they will have relatives there or at least find hospitality from other Jews there in Egypt. But most importantly, it is outside the realm of Herod. And they want to get away from Herod. I don't think I told you how evil Herod was. He was a great builder and did great things for Israel. But towards the end of his life, because of disease and mental illness, he became very, very paranoid and cruel. He had, for example, had murdered his children, a wife, anyone who in any way he suspected of being a danger or a threat to him. In fact, he had put in place orders that when he died, the nobility in Israel, in Jerusalem, as well as the leadership of the Jews, should be killed the day he died. Why? So that the day he died would be a day of mourning. He was that kind of man, and it is with good reason, therefore, that God instructs his servants, Mary, Joseph, his son, Jesus, to flee. But also there is the prophetic reason. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 is quoted by Matthew. Out of Egypt I called my son. And in Matthew, there's three references to Old Testament scriptures. And Matthew characterizes him under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as prophecies. You go back and you read those passages, and their initial meaning, their original meaning, is about Israel. Out of Egypt, I called my son, Hosea says, and that's referring to the Exodus. Matthew doesn't allude to this, I mean, he doesn't state it explicitly, but the killing of the children is a reminder, kind of an echo of what happens in Exodus when Pharaoh becomes afraid of the expanding population of the Hebrews and orders that male children be killed. Later on in this story, in the account, Matthew will cite Jeremiah about the weeping after the children are slaughtered. But in the original, that's not about this event. It's about the destruction of Judah by the Babylonians and everyone being deported. Matthew takes that, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and says, you know, God was originally speaking of his children, but now we know this is also about Jesus. So why Egypt? Practical reasons, prophetic reasons. I have a question for you. And let me tell you right now, you don't know the answer to this. I know you're intelligent people, at least most of you are. But you don't have the answer to this question. No one has the answer to this question. God warns Mary, Joseph, to flee. They were not the only family in Bethlehem. Why didn't God warn the others? God knew full well that all the children, all the male children under two would be killed. I don't know. I can guess at it. I can say that in order to rescue all the children, he would have had to change the world. At the very least, he would have had to change Herod. He would have had to stop the march of time and the march of history. It may be that he didn't warn the others, because God understood that the price of salvation, the price of his loving this earth, was massive. And it included the death of innocent children. Maybe God understood that. And if it's at all helpful, I would say to you that just as God weeps about other things, that God feels the pain of this world, so he felt the pain of what happened in Bethlehem when his son was born. I don't know why he didn't. But I have something to say about that. It's the truth about Jesus and what God had in mind for his son. God the Father chose to protect his son because his son had things to do. He needed to come to live his life, to teach the truth, to give his life on the cross, and to be resurrected. So God chose to protect his son and his purpose. And then, 33 years later, God chose not to protect his son. It fulfilled the purpose of God at Bethlehem and in Egypt to protect his son. It filled the purposes of God. It fulfilled the purposes of God. It accomplished what God wanted to do, to withhold his protection of his son on the cross. And indeed, from what Jesus cried out, he turned his back on his son. When we think about God protecting the son, and why didn't he protect the other sons, we need to keep in mind that there was this grand purpose, this journey that God had set out for his son that needed to take place. And part of that was protecting the baby Jesus. There's sort of another big reason why God didn't tell others, warn others. God sent his son into the world to change the world. God Almighty did not change the world for his son. When the baby was born in Bethlehem, God did not set up a sanitized birth area. God did not arrange for some special place for the baby to be born. The baby came into the world as the world was. And God chose to allow the baby to be born when Herod was king and Herod was at his worst. He did not sanitize the world for Jesus. Instead, he sent his son into the world as it is, or as it was. And so today he sends his son into the world as it is. And he sends his son into us the way we are. Not the way he wants us to be. Not even the way we look to be on Sunday mornings. He sends his son into our lives the way we are. He makes a difference in us the way we are. A couple of general truths. It is more common for God to help us deal with circumstances than to change the circumstances. That's what happened in Bethlehem. He had the family deal with the circumstances. He had them leave. Sometimes, as we go through difficult things, I would guess it is usually the case that God doesn't change the circumstances, but he gives us the ability to deal with them. We go to the doctor, and the doctor tells us something totally unexpected. The blood work came back. I need to tell you something. By God's grace and mercy, sometimes he will change that. But I'm thinking more often than not, he will help us deal with the circumstances. I think that's a general truth. I think we can learn that from Egypt. The second thing that we can learn from Egypt is this. Sometimes it is in God's provision for us. It is in God's work in us. We run away. That God's solution sometimes is not to stand and fight. Sometimes it is to run away. Are there specific scriptures for that? Yeah. Especially in regard to temptation. Paul writes to the Corinthians that there's no circumstance that is beyond us and that God will make a way of escape for us. It is interesting that Scripture tells us to stand up to Satan, but Scripture tells us to flee temptation. Sometimes God wants us to flee. You know, there's no way I can tell you when that happens. I can tell you about temptation and that we're instructed to flee, but other things, we are supposed to put on the whole armor of God and fight the good fight. I'm just saying to you, sometimes, it's okay. It's in God's leading to flee. Last thing, and we came across this last week when we looked at Bethlehem. The family fleeing to Egypt is an ordinary thing to do. When they went to Egypt, God did not part the waters for them. They just traveled as best they could, slowly probably, but it's in the way normal people did. It was just something to do. It was within their abilities. It was an ordinary thing to do. And that is how God protected his son. Get on the road. Get away. The story of the birth of Jesus Christ is full of that truth. It is repeated over and over again that God uses ordinary things, ordinary people, ordinary methods, ordinary roads to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. A lot of good stuff comes out of this simple little narrative. The family traveled to Egypt. Egypt is one of the places of the Advent. Let's pray. Father, we know full well that sometimes there are things in our lives that are just overwhelming.